The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Chai FM, where we always bring you the latest tech innovations and information that hopefully elevates your lifestyle and gets you more connected with what's going on in the tech world. Today, we're diving into a lot of what's new and what's happening at the moment. We're going to explore some wearable tech. A lot of people, it's been a consistent move to wearables, to health bands. There's a couple of really crazy new ones, rings, but we'll stick to pretty standard watches that are available everywhere. And we're going to look at the newly launched Honor 400 series of smartphones, which pack a lot of tech for moderate money. I mean, nothing's cheap anymore, but certainly compared to the top end of mobiles, these are very well priced. And then we'll wrap it up with some practical tips. But also what I'm going to do is do a bit of a comparison amongst all the various AI assistants. There are so many. They're all over the show. I'm going to stick to the big ones because there are a lot of smaller ones that a lot of people can try, but they're either not pervasive, they're not available. And more importantly, some of the Google stuff that is just part of your everyday browsing. A lot to come in the next hour. So stay tuned, listen in, and get your friends to listen in as well, because always interesting stuff to talk about. Now, moving straight into some of the new tech that's hitting the market, there's a June 2025 security patch for your S25, if you're a Samsung S25 user. It also applies to the S24 and the S22 and 23. So if you see a patch pop up on your phone, definitely download it. I've done it on numerous of my devices and seen it happen. It brings a lot of updates, particularly some of the later updates to the new look and feel, as well as, where possible on the devices that support it, some new additions to the whole Google AI ecosystem, which are really cool. There's updates to a lot of the apps, a lot of the AI-powered apps. So well worth doing these updates. I know a lot of people are somewhat concerned that they'll lose data or there'll be a problem. Generally with Google, pretty difficult because you're logged into your Google account. Mostly it's backed up there. If you also logged into your Samsung account, there's a lot of backup there. So, you know, recovering your device should something go wrong in the unlikely event is not a big deal. But I would recommend you really do it. It's well worth it. I'm not going to talk about Starlink anymore. It's an ongoing joke. Apparently, Botswana has now got Starlink. Lesotho's got Starlink. Zimbabwe's got Starlink. And guess who doesn't have Starlink? Not happening for the moment. A lot of offers have been made, $500 million worth of free Starlink offered to schools. So let's see where this all goes. But stay tuned. There'll be some interesting stuff. And sticking with Elon Musk's companies, one thing that has popped up in South Africa now, and I'm seeing more and more of it, is the new Tesla Powerwall 3. Now, the Powerwall has been available through installers, but this one, if you go to the Tesla website, you can actually see links to it in South Africa. And it is available. It was launched in March, but apparently they are now hitting the garages across South Africa. The pricing is pretty expensive. We're talking somewhere in the region of a total of 200,000 Rand, including all the bits and pieces and the basic battery. But the benefit of the new Powerwall is that it's double the power in terms of the inverter. Similar sort of power package in number of batteries with expansion, which can more than triple the size of the battery backup. But what it does do, it brings a three-year warranty. It also brings the ability to connect solar power directly without any additional connections. So you can either use it as a backup for when Eskom fails or as a fully solar storage system, which is my recommendation. Might add a little bit to the price. But with a payback period of approximately 5 to 7 years, depending on what Eskom are going to do with prices over the next couple of years, it's not a bad investment for a home. It certainly brings independence. It's got a five-year warranty, sometimes up to 10 years. So it certainly is something that fit it and forget it. Obviously, the app is cool. I've looked at it. You can see absolutely everything going on. So I know that it's been pretty stable of late, but still, getting independent or having your own independence with your own power system in the home really doesn't make a big difference. And if it's affordable, or you build it into your bond, or you're building a new home and you want to have it built in as a standard feature, this is one slick, easy, simple, well thought out. It can work indoors and outdoors. It's pretty temperature independent. It can even reportedly work underwater, which is pretty interesting for something with electricity. So check it out. There are a lot of others in the market, but Tesla have a reputation for quality, simplicity, and ease of use. So check that one out. That is quite a big deal in the space for the moment. And another interesting thing, which you may not notice, but you may feel in your pocket, is that the government have now decided to revamp their entire platform for verification. Now, many of us go into the bank, you use your fingerprint, you connect directly to Home Affairs for verification. Some of us who've used the CPIC website and want to verify certain information use it as well. And it was super, super cheap. I think it was costing everyone 15 cents a connection. And what the government was saying is that because of this, it was being overused in peak periods. It was taking up to 24 to 48 hours for a response. Sometimes 50% of the time it was down, the system is down. And it was not very good. So they've revamped it, updated some of the technology. They're talking about 90% or above accuracy. But here's the kicker. They're now moving it to 10 Rand a query during real-time use. So from 15 cents all the way up to 10 Rand, considering they introduced it in 2013, 15 cents then is very different to 15 cents now. But still, they've updated it to 10 Rand a query during normal hours. If you're doing batch queries, in other words, if you want to verify a whole ton of information in one go, they'll drop that down to 1 Rand a query, but then it's not real time. They'll do it or process it in the evenings or when the load on the system is low. Despite that, they say they've improved a lot of the back end to make sure that you don't have this can't process or stand in long queues waiting for verification of your information. As happens, you go and get your new ID book, you try your fingerprint, nothing happens for an age, then suddenly the system's back up and running. So haven't tried it personally, but I've heard that these sort of things seem to be working quite well, and they definitely are worth the 10 Rand for a faster, slicker, more real-time solution. The only hassle is a lot of people that used to give it to you for free because it was such a negligible charge may start charging you a fee to verify you against Home Affairs to check out your data. And that'll be anything from 10 Rand and above. Who knows what people will get up to. But it's good news. I think it's important that the government stay on top of this. And the simplicity and ease of an electronic system to manage your lives cannot be overstated. Many countries around the world, like Estonia, for example, are so fully electronic, so fully connected that absolutely every interaction, everything you want, no more lines, no more queues. You want a birth certificate, go online, identify yourself, download your birth certificate, certify to the latest technical abilities here. It should be that simple. You should be able to simply log in, use your verified digital ID, which is supplied by the government, download any document from the government that you want, no delay, no fuss, simple and easy. And let's hope this is the beginning of that, because it really, don't mind paying for a service, but right now to get an unabridged birth certificate can take months, and cost, depending on your route to get that certificate, can take ages, months, almost a year, and sometimes even thousands of rands if you go the expedited route.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Now, moving on to experimenting in general. Just in this Tech Talk Cafe segment, I just want to highlight a couple of the pros and cons of the various AI companions. Grok 3, which is part of X or Twitter as it used to be known. ChatGPT, which is OpenAI's version, something that most of us have heard about. Google Gemini, who seem to be fading and lagging, but big steps going forward, and Copilot from Microsoft, which is now built into Office for the most part. So most of you are seeing it pop up in your office wherever you go. It's a little invasive, a little noisy. It wants to get involved in absolutely everything you do, both on your Word as in Excel, but used judiciously can be very useful. But there are pros and cons on each. Some cost more than others. It's quite a mixed bag of things. But just to start, the first one, that one I've been using, and I find it's a good balance because a lot of them can be super chatty. Some of them can be a little bit too terse. But I think the key thing is that search and inquiry via your mobile or on your browser on your computer has fundamentally shifted. I almost cannot speak to anybody who's not using AI for normal search. Whatever you want to know, whatever you're looking for, whether it's something extremely specific, like what's the address of XYZ, down to I'm looking for a new pair of reading glasses, or I'm looking for a new toy, or I'm looking for a new heater for the bedroom, whatever. You use one of the AI assistants to do the research for you. Takes a few seconds, which is quite interesting. The talk in, it's interesting how things move so quickly. The talk in search was the quicker the search, the better, the more results with a ranking, the better. So it took microseconds to give you where's the best, the lowest priced heaters in Johannesburg. Boom, up came 1,000 links instantly. No one thought about it. It was quick. It was easy. You scrolled up and down. You found the top few and you moved on. You refined the search a little. Sometimes it was context sensitive. Sometimes it wasn't. But that was the benchmark. Now you can take up to 90 seconds, depending on how extensive or whether you branch into the agentic version of using, you know, deep thinking or deep whatever on these various AIs. And it can take sometimes up to 90 seconds or more to get a fully comprehensive report. The challenge is this. One, there are dangers in all AIs. You are going to get times where it authoritatively tells you that this XYZ is available here, there, or everywhere, and it just either doesn't exist, or it's an old model, or it was launched ages ago, or it's yet to be launched. There's always some of that weirdness going on. But in general, what AI is doing for most of us who are looking for anything on the web is giving you a comprehensive, easy to read, and easy to comprehend analysis of what's going on. And because of the in-context refinement you can do, you'll say, that's great, but I'm only interested in a specific XYZ, or I want to know more about something you mentioned in paragraph two, or please expand the section on why. And what it does, it continues to keep the full context of your original question without you retyping everything again in a new search to find more and more information. And you can drill down. You can add links. You can even tell the AIs, which is fascinating. You can tell it to only use verified information and not to use anything that doesn't have a verifiable link. And it works. Not to suggest products that are not available on the market, or not to suggest items that are not available in your territory, et cetera, et cetera. So the use of online search and the inquiry of what you're doing is just one element of all of this. And here's something really interesting, which was not in the scope of the original thing, but I just realized that something I've not spoken about. If you haven't updated your Chrome browser, and a lot of us use Chrome, it's a fairly default browser on both the phone, obviously, if you're using Samsung, they try to default to their own browser. But if you switch it to Chrome, you can. If you use it on your mobile or on your computer, on your tablet, doesn't matter where, if you go to the latest version, you'll find that the first thing that comes up when you do a search query is an AI type answer, right on top, before any links or any adverts or anything. How they're going to monetize this, I'm not entirely sure. I think things are going to change fundamentally for the sort of click-through model of advertising. A topic for another conversation down the road. But right now, that is built in standard and is using the latest version of Gemini, which is pretty insane. So check that out without doing absolutely anything. You can, you know, launch straight into Gemini on Google, and it works absolutely flawlessly. It gives you a lot more information. You can then interact directly and keep rolling the conversation like you would in natural. What is also quite cool, if you've got the Gemini app and you prepare to accept a little bit of craziness, some beta stuff, you can actually have a conversation, and the voices are insane. I'm reviewing Gemini first because it just sort of fitted into this whole thing. But the Gemini app on iPhone and on Google, on any Android phone, is absolutely incredible with regard to voice. It's got all the various text, voice, and other things. Obviously, the free version has only got some of the new features, but the paid-for version, when you spend a little bit more, and that varies between $20 and even more for various parts, it gets even better. You get more access to the latest models, more information, and speed. You go up the rankings in terms of speed. But try it out, both Gemini across many mobile phones now. Some of it's built in, some of the sort of more advanced uses like video creation are pretty insane. That tends to work only best when you pay for it. But for basic use, like even identifying what's in a picture and giving you useful information, really, really useful. The same could be said for my current favorite in terms of the way that it talks to you, which is Grok 3. Now, Grok 3 and the latest versions of that, it's built into X. If you use X, it's right there on the bottom. It's easy to use. It's been available, the latest updates, for about 2-3 months now. It is free with limits, or you can spend around about $700, which is $20, give or take, a month for Premium Plus. The pros here, it excels in any science or STEM type maths coding tasks. And it's been benchmarked at around about 80% on Live Code Bench, which is a very good benchmarking system. So if you are into coding or anything of that sort, these are really good. It does not replace coders entirely, but it certainly can be used to debug and to check coding and to create simple coding without too much complexity, really fast and with really high accuracy. Obviously, you need to know what you're doing to be able to interpret what it does and to use it correctly. But that being said, can save a ton of time. It's got real-time deep search, which is great, the agentic type. It's great for market research. So if you've got anything to do in terms of trying to find out what's going on or any form of research, it can create frameworks and formats, but all the AIs are really good at this, that can really assist in putting together the most professional looking and most useful research studies, because it does what you would do. You'd spend a lot of time looking at articles on the web, trying to curate them, trying to read them and understand them. The AI does that based on your query and gives you back tons of information that is in a concise and appropriate format. And as I said, the various AIs can get super verbose or far too short. Copilot on the short end, Perplexity and Grok 3 on the long end, with ChatGPT and Google somewhere in the middle. But again, that all comes down to what you want to do, how you want to do it. It is fast. It is pretty witty. It's got quite a personality, though the new Google Gemini voices have also got interesting personalities. It's quite interesting how all of a sudden, and also on ChatGPT, some of their voices are designed to be very friendly, very addictive, and in fact can flatter you, which is quite weird when it starts happening, about how clever you are to ask the questions you're asking. So AI is certainly getting more and more real and starting to sound more and more like humans, which is, well, depends on your perspective, pretty freaky, but that's the way it is. Where the cons on the X Grok platform is, it's tied to the X platform. So a lot of its information comes from X itself. Very powerful. It's now built into X. So if you want to fact check someone's story, you know, people can tweet anything or X anything. It doesn't matter what. It can be absolute nonsense. It can be complete rubbish. And yet it's there and it gets a million likes. You can simply ask Grok to check it, to verify it, or to explain it. Works like a bomb, super clever. easy, and within the limits. Remember that the data that Grok is trained on is the data that's there. So if a zillion people have said something on X, you'll probably find X tends to align with that thinking. So again, be a little careful of where it goes. It's also not very good for creative writing, which I've found Copilot and ChatGPT is. So if you're on the creative, more cerebral side of writing, then maybe this is not the one for you. ChatGPT also has two tiers. Free tier, which is pretty good, uses the slightly older model, slightly less cutting edge. You can, it's slightly cheaper than X, well, 400 Rand a month odd for plus, and gives you a lot greater speed. It gives you a lot greater access to different parts of it with the DALL-E image and other plugin support, voice, et cetera, et cetera. It is very good at creative tasks. So anything that you want to do to create some interesting and useful stories, it also adds a layer of creative writing. Now, when I say creative, no, maybe not factual, but certainly more interesting writing to even factual stuff. It is a little bit weaker with programming and STEM type tasks. It doesn't score that well on the live code bench. So it's still very good, but not quite there. So for text, images, audio, it works extremely, extremely well. It is a little slower on technical queries than everyone else and does have access to a little less real-time data. Think about it. Google has Google. Everyone uses Google. Every time you do a search or a query or you put anything on Google, Google knows what's going on. It knows where you are. It knows what you're doing to a large extent. I know it sounds like Big Brother, but when you sign up for Google, you sign up for a lot. And that information then adds to the general body of what Google has for its LLM or for its AI, and it gives a lot more information access. So it is important to realize that OpenAI, although incredibly smart and very, very clever in what it does have access to real-time data, and data is the key to pretty much everything. And then on to Gemini, also around about 400 Rand a month for the advanced platform. And if you're a big user of the Google platform, any, you know, whichever it is, be it search, be it browsing, be it one of their sort of office type apps, it's well worth the extra money. Now, that I will say to you, because it does bring some of their latest models. It brings text, image, and audio, and it is absolutely seamless with Google Workspace. What I find, if I open certain documents in Google Workspace, it's much less intrusive than our dear friends at Microsoft, where the Copilot is trying to talk to you and get involved in absolutely everything that's next to your cursor when you write. It's just in your face. You cannot ignore it. You can switch it off, but it's now in Mail as well. It's summarizing and suggesting responses, which maybe is clever, except that for office work and things like that, it might be a little bit problematic. What I do find, and what a lot of people have commented on with Gemini, it is less creative than OpenAI. It tends to be drier, tends to lack a depth for nuanced topics. It seems to be very, surprise, surprise, search and result orientated. But then again, you are talking about Google. Google is the de facto standard for finding out, sorting, and knowing what's going on the web. So they've brought that ethos into Gemini, although you'll see in my review of the new Honor 400 and some of the new Samsung devices, the level of integration of AI into every single app, from photos to translation to calls, you name it, is just getting more and more seamless, so that for the most part, you don't even realize it's working, which is a good thing. Not entirely a bad thing, but it's a good thing. It makes it useful without being completely over the top. Again, you need to understand what it does so that you don't blindly accept whatever nonsense it tells you. It doesn't matter when and where. The other thing that I found, that Google Gemini's got a lot of guardrails, a lot. They restrict things quite strongly and makes things a little bit less useful overall. The last one is the Microsoft Copilot. which is free for the most part. If you've got Office 365, depending on your version, it's free or free, it's built in. There is cost per month. You can spend up to 600 Rand a month for Pro, which brings you everything. It is based on GPT-4. So it is very similar in overall basic function to OpenAI because it's based on ChatGPT-4. And essentially, it is very accurate, but I do find it is very limited in creative output. It's not versatile for non-Microsoft users, so it's great if you're a Microsoft user. It's very simple, easy to use, and it's built into Office pretty seamlessly and does make a lot of sense. It cleans up, checks your grammar, a lot of things like that. So very useful overall in Excel. It can do and help with a lot of queries in terms of creating fancy spreadsheets. So cuts time, makes life a little easier, definitely a productivity boost, so well worth it. The one that a lot of people I find are using it, but it's expensive. It's round about 800 a month is Perplexity. Perplexity Pro is an AI-powered search engine that offers direct citations and really does aim to deliver a lot of real-time information. And what I find, it does summarize research papers unbelievably well. It handles very complex queries extremely well, both in the free and paid version. And although it excels extremely well in technical and academic areas, it does struggle a little with the sheer amount of data. And the one thing I have found, it delivers an enormous amount of output. So it can be very, very difficult to try to get through everything. As I said, Grok seems to be in the middle. The others are all over the show, but at the far end of verbosity, if you want to call it that, Perplexity is definitely down there and can give you an overwhelming amount, which simply means it gives you too many options. You then have to go and do further research or further work or further stuff. So check out all these various things. Most of them are fairly close in lockstep in terms of basic stuff. Some are much better at science, some are much better at creative. And depending on your needs and your usage, check out which one makes sense to you and only pay for that. But this is evolving really quickly, so don't pay stupid money for something or get locked into year-long contracts. That's the last word on this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And another quick live read before we get stuck into the Honor 400 and 400 Pro, which was launched in the last few days. In South Africa, safety isn't just a hope, it's a right. And CAP are leading the charge. Through proactive protection, they successfully cut violent crime by over 80%. Their offensive intervention has led to an incredible 351 arrests, preventing over 1,800 crimes this year alone. Now, with expansive transformation, CAP is building communities designed to repel crime. This is your chance to be part of their powerful solution. Power their fight with Safer Together 2025. Visit the safertogether.co.za website today to donate. That's safertogether.co.za. I'm not going to spell that out. I'm sure you can figure that one. Now, moving on to the gadget of the week. And the amount of cell phones that come out, it just seems to be a cell phone world. It doesn't stop. But Honor have been around for a long time. Their genesis was in the good old days of Huawei. They were sold off when Huawei ran into all sorts of trouble with Trump and the various, well, not Trump so much, but with the American administrations over the years, and have been banned from running Google, which for me, they've created their own operating system that has no links to Google whatsoever. And as impressive as that is, in the real world of the West, where we link to Google, Microsoft, and all those type of platforms, it doesn't quite cut it with regard to the apps and the simple ease of use. There are lots of workarounds, and unfortunately, most people can get away with a Huawei phone, but it's really crippled in ways that make no sense. And along come many competitors, such as Honor. Now, the Honor 400 and 400 Pro are a 6.55-inch, the 400, and 6.7-inch, that's the 400 Pro, AMOLED Snapdragon-based telephones. They both feel exceptionally good quality. I haven't spent a lot of time with them. It was just the launch, but I did get enough time to see that these are extremely well made, well put together, and very camera heavy or focused devices. The cameras are pretty impressive. They're very loud on the back, but still very interesting. The 400 comes with a Snapdragon 7 Gen 3, which is one of the latest Snapdragon processors. And the 8 comes with the top of the line Gen 8. Well, the Honor 400 Pro comes with the Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 chipset. And they all have a 200 megapixel, of course, AI assisted camera systems. So they've got something called AI Super Zoom, and they do include Google Cloud's VO image to video tool, which can turn photos into cinematic clips. It's a bit of a party trick, but it really works. So you're covering any events or family gatherings, take a whole lot of pictures, and the VO2 AI will create a very cool video. It works. I was pretty blown away how slick and easy and intuitive it is. Take a few pictures, tell the AI to get going, and off it goes and creates really crazy video clips. Very interesting. It also comes with a massive 6,000 milliamp hour battery. And that, just to put it in perspective, the sort of average battery pack you run around in most phones are between 1,500 and 3,000. 6,000 is big, but the phones themselves are not that big. So that really gives you a full day of use. It also comes with a 100-watt supercharger. So you can hit third of the full charge in 15 minutes, which is pretty impressive. 100-watt supercharge, obviously using their cable, their charger, into the phone, is pretty impressive. So within 30 minutes, you can have a full charge, no problem whatsoever. And it really does make a difference if you want to top up before you go out and you've just got 15 minutes. So on the good side, it's got real flagship level 200 megapixel megapixel cameras. It's got AI deepfake detection and on-device call translation. It really is. The whole photographic setup of the phones, both of them, is excellent. I must say that it competes with some of the top-of-the-line Samsung and Google and products, as well as some of the Apple products, really, really well. The interface is simple. It's slick. It's easy to use. And it really works very, very well. They all both have IP69 water and dust resistance, and they come with a so-called Magic OS 9 with the latest on Android 15, which I must say is very slick. They've really made it smooth and easy to use. Now, right now for launch, it's bundled. Both devices are bundled with 8,000 rands worth of freebies. You can Honor Watch 2i, which looks really competitive. Some earbuds X7 Lite, not heard them. They look pretty cool. And just in case you do run out of power, a 10,000 milliamp hour power bank. All of that's only until July the 31st at all their various retailers. What I did find, if you want to talk about not so good or maybe a few cons, is one, it's not quite the screen, the feel, the build is not quite in the Samsung S25 or the Apple Pro or even the Apple range. Not quite, but very, very, very close. And that depends on what you're looking at. I'll tell you the prices in a little while, which makes it very attractive. So the build quality is really good, but not quite as good as the real top-of-the-line products out there. They're also a little bit top-heavy due to the camera array. The cameras are pretty big and extensive and a little bit heavy on the top. So the phones feel a little unbalanced, and that can lead to slipping and things. I would recommend a case, no matter what, use a case. But really, the Honor 400 doesn't have the Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 and wireless charging, which are the two little things. But again, for the price, I think it's not a bad compromise at all. And to talk about the price, the Honor 400 will be in the region of 9,000 to 11,000 rand, depending on where and what you are. And the 400 Pro is going for 17,000, which I think is actually very good value considering all the other various prices and costs of these sort of devices out there. So if you're looking for a really, well, 17,999 for the 400 Pro, and somewhere between, as I said, 9 and 12, but it's listed at 12,999. Obviously, it'll be available. That's for the Honor 400. The sort of gift pack, as I said, will only be available till the end of July. But my first impressions are these are excellent devices at a very competitive price. They run the full suite of Google with no restrictions whatsoever. They take exceptional pictures. You really won't be disappointed. The various AI features that Google offer are excellent. They work extremely well. They're well baked into the OS. They're well baked into the operating system on top of that. So a great new launch of top-end Android devices on the market at prices that are pretty reasonable. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And just some last thoughts on this whole AI thing and some some recommendations about scamming. Scams are becoming more and more sophisticated. The use of AI is not limited to searching for the best washing machine in town and writing your thesis for your latest project, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. There's been a lot of very sophisticated information that has been generated via these things. And so you must be extremely aware of anybody asking you for any information in a fairly remote way. So this morning, got an SMS, looks absolutely, you need to pay 540, click here, and something. And I wasn't sure what they're talking about. And when I looked at it and I gave it a little bit of thought, it was obviously not correct. I looked at the URL, it made no sense. I didn't deal with anyone with that name. I'd never seen that product or anything. I just didn't know what was going on about. But it was clever. It was targeted. It had urgency. It told me to pay an insignificant sum of money in real terms. And often you get them for 20 Rand, 5 Rand, whatever. And you think, oh, this is a little thing. I just need to do this. Don't just click on links, especially in emails, SMSs, or any form of communication, or even WhatsApps, because more and more people are doing that. So be very, very aware of any sort of phishing scams. If any bank that you deal with contacts you via these platforms and asks you to do anything, rather go to the website, log into your online banking, check that information is being requested there, because it would be. There's no way that the bank would send you a message outside of your official channels. In other words, on your website or via the app. In fact, I can almost guarantee that anything they want to know, they will communicate officially through one of their sort of very secure platforms. So no matter how enticing or urgent or interesting or whatever, if they send you a WhatsApp, a message, anything, a Teams thing, do not click on any links. Do not volunteer any information of any sort at any time. It's really important. And the other thing that I would really recommend you do on all your smartphones, be it a Apple or Android phone or whatever, well, those are the two main choices, make sure that you enable backup on those devices at all times, because what that will do is all your settings, all your data, or data, whichever way you go, and everything that you do on the phone, your apps included, will be saved securely in the cloud. If, heaven forbid, you lose your device or it's stolen or it drops out of your pocket and falls down a dark hole somewhere, all you need is your login, your secure login to the various platforms, and you can reset up your device with minimal hassle. Yes, you're going to need a whole host of third-party logins for various apps and streaming things and whatever else you do, games. But the basic apps and all your data will be safe and will come straight back to your phone wherever you are. And on that note, I've been told it's time. It's time to end this exciting session of Tech Talk. So right here on Chai FM, tune in every Thursday from 11 till 12, and you'll get all the latest gizmos, gadgets, updates, and AI not generated information from SNE. That's Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk right here on Chai FM.